Okay, I'd like to call this Board of Education meeting to order. It is 6 p.m. Right now, as you know, we have a closed session scheduled to deal with public employee discipline, dismissal, release, appointment, and reassignment, conference with labor negotiators, as well as a conference with our legal counsel. We are going to recognize, I have a bunch of blue slips here. I'm assuming that they're for the public comment period before the closed session. If it's something that you wanted to wait until after the closed session, please just let me know, and then I'll just keep that blue card to the side to use for that. I did want to make a comment about the agenda since there have been questions asked. There obviously was an error in the transmittal between the draft agenda and the final agenda that left an item off. That does not mean that we will not be discussing it in closed session, and we have our legal counsel here, and I just want to assure everybody that there was no attempt by the district or the board to try to make sure that that was not discussed or that the process was not transparent. So with that, Pete Sabatino, welcome back.
Thanks. Members of the board, superintendent, audience, and staff, for those of you that don't know me, I spent 15 years on the Board of Education here. During my tenure, the school district went from one that was virtually bankrupt to one that was most solvent, respected in districts in LA County. Some of the members of the board here today were involved in that incredible transformation. The board achieved this fiscal success by making sound but not always popular business decisions backed by sound policies. We made smart, needed changes that involved the hardest of decisions. We closed underpopulated schools, which we tried every which way to keep open, especially Edgewood High School. We moved teachers, reconfigured and consolidated classrooms, and reapportioned pupil attendance boundaries to maximize our savings to the general fund budget. We also increased student seat time as well as requirements and credits needed to graduate, along with other unpopular but necessary decisions. Not one of those decisions was based on personal feelings toward any group or individual. They were tough business decisions that had to be made. I am here tonight to defend and support the business decision to consolidate single period part-time classes into the load of existing staff to complete their schedules and to support the fundamental right of the district's administration to reassign and reorder classes to best utilize staff time, talent, diversity, and skill sets. Some have tried to make this issue about the people and personalities involved in this situation. One of those affected by the decision to eliminate single period classes is Michael Kura, a retired, well-respected, longtime teacher in our district. I love Mike. He was one of the coaches and teachers that I respected and admired and was at West Covina High when I graduated some 40 years ago. His impact on students, athletes, parents, and the community has affected generations of Spartans and Bulldogs. But this decision isn't about Michael Kura. He is being used by those opposed to the consolidation of single-period classes and the administration to infuse diversion, division, and discord on the school board and in the public. Instead of a discussion and a debate on a business issue, this issue has turned into a personal political one, pitting the superintendent and agreeing board members against a longtime, well-loved teacher. This is sad, unfortunate, and is an unfortunate state of affairs at best, and a politically motivated personal attack on certain board members and the administration, a cheap shot, if you will, at worst. This kind of self-serving rancor does not serve the interests of the majority of parents and students and the community. Let's get back to our business-minded roots, what this board is all about. Let's do what's right. Thank you for your time.
Stephen Medina. Stephen, before you talk, I forgot to mention that, you know, obviously we do have rules governing how long people can speak, 5 minutes, and we try not to do more than 20 minutes on a topic. We do have a lot to go through before we get to closed session, so just keep that in mind, speakers, as we go through. I'll try to be as liberal as possible, I guess.
Good evening, board members and everyone in attendance. My name is Steven Medina. I'm an alumni from the West Covina of the year 2007. I was a member of News Bites for 4 years. I graduated as one of the editors-in-chief. And also, I had some brief moments with Mr. Okura. But ultimately, I've been to the last couple meetings, and the first meeting I came to, we tried using a lawful approach to helping to reinstate Mr. Okura, Mr. Moser and Okura. And the last meeting I came to, you had a lot more emotional testimonials, and you've gotten emails and letters. And so basically, I remember in the first meeting I came to, the new principal, he spoke of change. That was his main theme. And I know that change is something that it's something that constantly happens. And change sometimes, it happens for the worst. But in this instance where you can control change and something that has been benefiting the school, in the case of Mr. Moser helping to build such a strong program of West Covina High School, and Mr. Okura that has built a legacy as a well-known teacher and a mentor to many students, I don't understand why you can't be the people to implement the change to reinstate both of them. And that's pretty much as I'll say, but I hope that you guys do the right decision to bring them both back to the Bulldog family.
Okay, Emily Trin.
Hello, I'm Emily Trin. I'm the current sound check.
Thank you, Steve.
Hi, I'm Emily Trin. I'm the current sound check editor for the News Bites newspaper. And Mr. Moser is pretty much, he is the newspaper. And taking Mr. Moser away would be like News Bites would not be what it is without Mr. Moser, because he has made such an impact on newspapers. So hopefully you guys make the right decision with the reinstatement of Mr. Moser.
Sergio Velli.
Thank you, Mr. Spence, members of the board, superintendent. My name is Sergio Valle. I am Victor Valle's father. He is the current editor-in-chief of the school, the West Covina High School newspaper. He has been with the paper for about 3 years. Now, I trust that by now, in this meeting and the prior meetings, you have an idea of how the current and former students feel about Mr. Moser, about his outstanding teaching and leadership skills, and about the great job that he has done as the advisor for the West Covina High School newspaper. So I won't say anything else about that. What I do want to talk to you about is about frustration. Have you ever felt frustrated and powerless? Well, this is what my son and the students, his classmates, feel about what has happened in the last 2 years with the school newspaper and with Mr. Moser. Ever since his first encounter with the board last year, when the school's newspaper was placed under prior review, which I consider censorship, he, Victor, and his classmates have felt that the members of the board and the superintendent are unwilling to listen to them. They feel that because they're too young to vote, that the members do not care about their interests, but instead bend to the will of other interests. Whether or not that is the case, it is yet to be determined. But I would argue that even though the students in the district are not able to vote, that they are your constituents. When I personally cast my vote for a school board member, I'm not looking for someone who's looking for my interests. I'm looking for somebody who will make the decisions that will best benefit the students of the district. And in this case, I believe that the best decision for the West Covina High School would be to reinstate Mr. Moser as advisor of the school newspaper. This is true not only because your constituents, the students, have shown that it is what they want, it is what they're looking for, but also because I don't think up to this point anyone has provided a justifiable or even half decent reason for his removal. Based on what I've read, Mr. Rubalcaba decided to replace Mr. Moser with a math teacher because he wanted to shake things up. Is that a good enough reason to shake things up? Is that how you reward somebody who has done an outstanding job for 13 years? I don't know if by removing Mr. Moser as advisor, Mr. Rubalcaba violated any employment laws or school policies. I guess that will be discussed. But I know that he violated one basic principle of management, and that is that if you want to implement change, if you want people to follow your changes, if you want people to be on board with your decisions, you first have to get them on board. In this case, my son and his classmates were blindsided by the decision. And that leads me to question his management skills and the skills of those who put him in that position. In any case, we are now faced with the action, because I believe that there is no justifiable reason for his removal. And because his students want him as advisors, I respectfully ask that you vote to reinstate him as the advisor for the West Covina School Newspaper.
Kira Matilla.
Hello, my name is Kira Matilla. I'm an upcoming senior at West Covina High School, and I'm here to speak upon the current issues of Mr. Kira and Mr. Moser. I think between a district and a school, a big factor of a relationship like many is trust. I mean, a school should trust their district to make the right decisions, trust they do anything to help our school. And I'm sure you guys intend to do that. But I think the trust needs to go both ways. We need you to trust us in the idea that we don't believe that there is a reasonable judgment for dismissing Mr. Kira from our school or replacing the journalism advisor, Mr. Moser. I myself have never been taught by either staff members, but I didn't need to know what incredible leaders they've been at West Covina High because of one word, impact. And those two have made a lot of it. They're an important part of our Bulldog family, and we're all here to support them in this unfortunate situation that came upon them. Please trust us when we say that Mr. Kerr belongs at our school more than anyone I know and deserves to leave on his own terms. And Mr. Moser has been an inspiring advisor to his journalism classes and has helped our school express our opinions. Please trust us in that as we trust you to do what's best for our school. Thank you.
Diana Parisio.
Hello, my name is Diana Pariso, class of 2011, and I'm speaking on behalf of Mr. Okura and Mr. Moser. There is no justification whatsoever for why two of the most loyal and dedicated teachers at West Covina High should be removed from their positions, especially when they've done nothing wrong. The general public has gotten no logical explanation for this, probably because there isn't any. As for myself, I've never even been one of their students, and yet I already see and feel all around me the positive influence they have on my fellow peers. I read every issue of News Bites, happy to see that there's a group of such passionate students committed to writing freely and voicing their opinions, and all of this because of Mr. Moser. And I've never heard an ill word about Mr. Okura. Actually, I've only heard the best. When I was writing this, I asked my friend, how long has he been teaching? And she just said, forever, I think since WCHS started. And it's teachers like that, teachers who have and want to continue to devote so many years of their lives to education and to making an impact on others, that have built West Covina High to become the outstanding school it is today. Our school is like a stone fortress dedicated to working for this common goal. And teachers like Mr. Okura and Mr. Moser and the students they've inspired have built that school to be what it is. They've been here to see that pile of bricks that it was before rise after hard work and dedication. So I repeat, there is no logic showing why these two teachers should be removed from their positions unless every single person in this room wants our school to fail. I mean, that might seem outlandish, but when you remove such prominent people from their roles at our school, it only causes a stir, and after that, a ripple. and this group around me is the wave. Who knows how much further this negative domino effect can go before the whole school starts going downhill. What these two teachers do at West Covina High is too vital for our health, too significant to be thrown out the window. And with that, I ask for the reinstatement of Mr. Okura and Mr. Moser to their former positions. Thank you.
Neil Nakano.
Hi, my name is Neil Nakano, and I will be entering my seventh year as a high school counselor and sixth at West Covina High School. Over the past few months, I've watched as our students, staff, and alumni have impressed me with their ability to organize and rally around two highly respected teachers, Mr. Okura and Mr. Ted Moser. At the same time, I've been trying to piece together in my mind what has really been going on, trying to sift between the facts and the rumors. Now, I know I don't have all of those, but that reflection has led me to be both disappointed and frustrated with the way both situations have been handled. As a counselor, part of my job is to help students learn how to deal with their problems in effective and constructive ways. I encourage them to communicate openly and honestly with others about what is bothering them as a way to find an appropriate solution to their issue. Now, I know I'm naive in thinking that the world is that simple, but as educators, I feel it's our job to model for our students the appropriate ways to handle frustrations, problems, and mistakes. In both cases of Michael Kerr and Ted Moser, I feel this has not been the case. After all that has gone on, is this the way we want our students to learn about how the world works? Should we be modeling a world where distrust, disrespect, and misinformation are the norm? Do we want them to grow up thinking that one cannot admit when a mistake has been made? As I stated before, I know this is not a perfect world we live in, but I like to believe that we are working hard to make it a little bit better. As leaders, it is easy to take credit for when things go right, but how our leadership should be judged is how we handle ourselves in the difficult times and when mistakes have been made. Will we model to our students how to accept and correct our mistakes, or will we be teaching them to deny and ignore that an error was ever made? Will we teach our students to show respect for others, or will we show them that respect is not important? At the beginning, I said I was disappointed about what was going on, but what I'm really disappointed about is I know this district and West Covina High School is an amazing place, and that we should be better than this. I know we can be better than this. Thank you, and I'm here in support of Ted Moser and Michael Kerr.
Celine Barrera.
Hello again, board members, superintendent, audience, staff, everyone here. What I hold in my hands right here is the West Covina Unified School District Student Parent Handbook. It is given to every student who enrolls within the district at every school. Enclosed in the front cover is the superintendent's welcoming message, as well as the mission statement of the board and all of the board members' names. I'd now like to take a closer look at both of the messages. We'll start with the welcome message. Quote, a new school year presents opportunities for various beginnings, new classes, new faces, new courses, and this year, a new school. However, newness alone cannot produce great results. We must work collaboratively to support the needs of all of our students so they can take advantage of the finest school in the valleys and be successful academically, end quote. Newness alone. Yes, newness alone cannot produce great results because at heart, we need to preserve old traditions and remain united knowing that there have been many people who have sacrificed greatly to give us what we have now. We all know that West Covina High School has not always this been way. It has not always been so vibrant and successful. It was a long, long effort, and it still continues on. Suffice to say, we're not afraid of anything. We are fine just continuing and making ourselves better. But unfortunately, it looks like we can't be off in our own community trying to make ourselves improve to be the best Bulldogs we can be. This leads me to the school district's mission statement. The mission of the West Covina Unified School District is to work in concert with our families, the community, and business to provide all students with a high-quality education in a safe and secure environment in order to graduate well-educated, responsible citizens. Keep in mind that I did not fabricate these words. They were written by each of you sitting here, and I am merely a member of the community who saw them. In some ways, it's astounding. If an outsider were to read these words, they would think that the reason why we're all here today is somewhat unbelievable. Truly, messages that sound so in sync with each other should be backed up with appropriate actions, correct? Perhaps not. Perhaps all of you want to go back on these words, want to betray the very words you have written and committed yourself to. Perhaps you want to disappoint all of these students, all of these teachers, and all of these voting members of West Covina. Perhaps, but there is a chance for this not to happen. It may seem absurd, all of this ruckus for two people, but you can now recognize how much of an impact two people can have. The generational gap proves nothing because students of past and present are still on the same page and still fighting for the same cause. Because that's what being a family is all about. We stand by each other no matter what. We do what it takes to make sure that we never fall, because united we stand and united we fall, but united we rise from the ashes of turmoil, of destruction, and of radical change. Ronald Reagan, our 40th president, once said, "There are no constraints on the human mind, no walls around the human spirit, no barriers to our progress except those we ourselves erect." Let our presence here bear fruit to this statement. Let it represent our entire front, and let us put away our entire armory. Let us merely stand strong and together and united as one. Let us remember that we are a wonderful city filled with ambitious, determined, and motivated citizens who are all striving to make their own great strides in life, whether personal or greater. I know that I have truly been inspired by the movement set forth by all of these bulldogs of now and of the past. We are united by a familial love that is hard to duplicate. It is beautiful and truly remarkable. So I ask that the board please do the right thing and correct the changes of right now. Do what is best for the students and stay true to your words, the words that I read right here on this district statement. Thank you for listening to all of us, for welcoming our concerns and our questions. And the only true request that we can ask for is for you to take our words and put them into action. Thank you.
Vince Lotilla.
Hi, my name is Vince Lotilla, and I represent the West Covina class of 2011. And I remember once coming out. Well, I remember coming out of the previous school board meeting, and my sister came by to pick me up, and she was wondering what the fuss was about here. And I told her that one reason people were here was to discuss the reinstatement of Michael Okura. I remember my sister's reaction. The shock on her face said it all. My sister Bridget Lotilla was a former student of Michael Okura. She was so surprised about Mr. Okura's retirement. We got into a conversation about when she had Mr. Okura for AP English Literature. I remember her telling me about how Mr. Okura made the class very interesting, about how he can keep his class awake through jokes and puns while still keeping to the class curriculum. He had a gift. He had that ability to keep students enthusiastic about learning, my sister said. But what made him a great teacher was that he never doubted any of his students' ability to succeed. The conversation went on. And if I were to explain our talk in its entirety about how my sister considered Mr. Okura as one of the best teachers she had, you guys would probably have to cancel your closed session because I'll probably take all day, you know. But based on what my sister told me, it seems that West Covina High School was deprived of a legendary educator. And I believe that Michael Okura still has a lot to offer to the school, that his wisdom can still benefit future generations of high school students. Thank you.
Shana Woodcock.
Hello again, school board and superintendent. You have all heard from me for the past two meetings, and before you enter closed session, I'd just like to make one quick statement. I sincerely hope you make the right decision here tonight. After hearing innumerable testimonies about both Mr. Moser and Mr. Okura, you know what the right decision is. Please restore them both to their respective positions. It is what's best for this district's students and this community. Thank you.
George Fuller.
Hi, George Fuller. Good to see you all again. I just want to comment on the, I believe is letter A under closed session, personnel report. I'm glad to see that we have personnel issues. I'm happy being discussed in closed session, as they should be. As every board member is aware, we have a responsibility to our employees to conduct ourselves as far as this district is concerned, in protection of their rights and protection of their families, because sometimes our family issues turn up in personnel issues, that we need to have that in confidence, and that we need to make sure everybody knows we don't know what goes on in closed session because we don't talk about closed session. But what goes on in closed session stays in closed session. And it's there by law, and it's there to be there. I believe with this board, all understand, or at least my perception at least understand, that responsibility to keep it in closed session and to discuss such issues in closed session. I would exhort anyone not to waive that closed session and have situation conducted in open session, because then it goes on the table. We saw during the last election, Mr. Spence sends a mailer, and the response was, it's political. So if you bring your things up to the table, and they go on the table in justification, then it becomes on the political table, and it becomes fair for dissemination to where it would like to go. You now become part of the political process in allowing that material to go out to the community. This way, if you don't like the decision, you can go about it the legal matter and still keep it confidential or select what's going to take place. So hopefully whatever's going on stays in closed session, and hopefully the board will continue to see that and maintain the integrity of closed session and keep it there. I've heard the names Mr. Mosher. Mr. Mosher is a very dear educator to me. He's been with my family since a long time with my family. One of my sons has followed with him. He has led them. I have discussed with Mr. Mosher, only because it's come up, I don't know quite what's going on, but I would like to say this. I've discussed with Mr. Mosher, he should become an administrator. Mr. Mosher has kind of indicated, well, I'm kind of happy where I am. And I said, there's going to come the day when somebody's going to light a fire under you because we need you as an administrator. He's on every committee that's here. He has the respect of the teachers. He has the respect of the administrators. He leads people. People follow him. And I'll tell you what he do. I came from Miracosta High School, and the name of the person there is Waller Field. And I went to school under Dr. Waller, and as an administrator, what he brought into the school was disabled students. That was back in the day when there wasn't special ed and they weren't allowed in the schools. And he went to bat for him as an administrator and an educator. He had a big effect on me because I now have a special education credential. This is a man, Ms. Dr. Waller, who brought him in and made sure they were in the room. But he understood enough not to push it too far. But they were there. I believe Mr. Mosher has that capability to lead not only teachers but education there, and I would like to see him move into those, and sometimes you have to go there. Mr. Okura, life changed for Mr. Okura, and I know I was sitting on that board table when life changed, and I got to vote when that life changed, and he came in here and still fulfilled, even though it was a touchy situation, he fulfilled something for the high school that was there, and it worked well. It was always said, someday this will end. And the response was, okay, it's going to end. But while he was there, I'm glad it's there. I think we have to look at the appreciation and what's going on. I will say this. Our superintendent has fought hard for teachers not to have pay cuts, because I personally know, not to have furlough days. Mr. Kurt Hagman, Mr. Spence's boss, has said publicly he thinks to balance the school budgets, to balance the state budgets, teachers ought to take a pay cut. And did it happen? Yes.
That's not true.
Capistrano.
That's not true.
Is it happening here? Do we need furlough days? Are we playing in? Are we looking at it? Always be aware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Always be aware of what's coming down the pipe. Where are we going with this? Where are we going with teachers? Who's leading what, where, when? Okay. But the superintendent has fought against furlough days, has fought against pay cuts, has fought against layoffs, has balanced the budget, and you're still there. Vindictive? I can think of somebody, an editorial came out in the paper, that a media representative came in with literature on gay groups. At this board table, you should have heard what went off. It went off. there was an editorial that came out, and I'll guarantee you caught everybody's attention over here. I wonder if that advisor still sat in his position afterwards. I wonder if there's been other editorials that have appeared that person sat there. Vindictiveness? Ladies and gentlemen, I was in Vietnam, not to age myself. When the buildup came, I was in the Marine Corps at that time. A general came down, said, "We don't belong there." A general, I'm not talking about, and I'm talking about a general with World War II ribbons. You know what that general did? He had his mission. With my assistance, we sent people over to Vietnam. There were other people that said that. We sent them over to Vietnam. We had a mission to go, and they followed it. No vindictiveness, nothing there. They didn't pick out and say, "You're going." Today, I was listening on the radio. Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Gates, announced he's going to cut $100 billion out of the budget. One of the things he wants to eliminate is a joint, some sort of fancy task force out of Virginia. The general from Iraq is coming back to that spot. The general has been leading the troops in Iraq. Do you think Gates has been appreciative of him? Yes. He's coming back. He's going to eliminate that. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what happens to a general when they eliminate his position? He gets a letter in the mail saying, "We'd like you to retire because we don't have any place for you to go." I don't think Gates is vindictive. Gates has to do something. So I think we all have to look at where we are and where we're leading and where we're going and what's left and work on it. If we're not happy, I want to go back. We have a legal process to go through. A legal process to go through. And when I worked on the police department, I got all sorts of information from all sorts of people. I always had to discern what that information was and how reliable it was and whether they stand up and raise the right hand and swear under penalty of perjury that it was true. Always be aware of somebody carrying a different agenda for a different reason. So I'll close. Thank you.
Okay. Ian Jones.
Members of the board, Madam Superintendent. I don't need to tell you what I think or why I'm here. You all know that. I'm wearing it. It's emblazed on my chest. I don't think you can miss it. But I'd like to talk to you about a cost-benefit analysis, because Mr. Sabatino started off with that. I'd like to address that now. There are costs to everything that we do. This isn't a surprise to anyone sitting on the dais. There are benefits to everything that we do. Again, I don't think this comes as a surprise to anyone, but benefits come in two different ways. They come in a lot of ways, but let me focus on two. Cost is money, and I understand, I comprehend, and I am sympathetic to the financial situation right now. I understand it. At the same time, there are benefits. You have a teacher in the classroom, Mr. Okura, for one period a day. I understand where that cost analysis comes in. I understand that. And you get a benefit. You get an AP English Lit class taught, whatever period he teaches, two times a week or three times a week, whatever the schedule is now. But you get intangible benefits other than having someone in the classroom. You get the benefits that you've heard about for the last month and a half. 2 months. You get the benefits of bringing a community together like we have right now. It's an intangible benefit. It's something that we learned. Does it have to do with English? No, but it learns with community. Just everything that you learn in a classroom doesn't necessarily have to be academic. I know you're running short on time, so I'll cut it off right here, but think about the different benefits that you get. I don't have the numbers right off. I don't have anything with me. But I'll make a guess that the financial cost of having Mike Okura teach one class isn't going to break the district. And if that's going to carry over to an avalanche effect for every other one period, you know, teacher, you know, then maybe so be it. And if that's the case, then maybe we do need to do something about the one periods. But I'm not here to talk about we don't need one period teachers. You have a man who's devoted 40 years of his life to this district and his entire family to serving this community. I hope that when you think about this and you discuss this, you'll keep these ideas in mind. Thanks.
Victor Valle.
Hello. My name is Victor Valle, and I am the current editor-in-chief of New Brights newspaper. Let me list a couple of the accomplishments that I've experienced during my years as a member of the News Bites newspaper. In 2007, we received an award from the LA County Fair, recognizing us for our hard work and the statue of our paper. 2 years ago, we all banded together to fight something that we truly believed in and showed our commitment to the basics of journalism, which rests on free speech. And every year, I see someone leave this class with a new set of skills, including leadership skills, time management skills, and writing skills. Last year, we had accomplished and grew more than we could ever imagine. We went under a major redesign and brought our paper to an entirely new level. We created new positions to ensure that as many people as possible could be involved. We put out all 17 issues that we had planned to release. We raised more money from ad sales than we have in any of the previous years. And we came out with a 16-page color issue at the end of the year, the only one that I've created in all my years of being a part of the staff. And although it is true that this is because of the amazing staff that I've had a pleasure of working with the last year, it is also because of the incredible leadership and guidance of Mr. Moser. This may be what we as a paper have done for the past 3 years, but this isn't a new thing at all. It is something that even former students from many years before our time could agree on. It is something that students from the past 13 years of Mr. Moser's time of being advisor can attest to. It is something that you can't ignore, something that should be rewarded, and something that he shouldn't be punished for. Mr. Moser is the right person for the job. He has the talent, skill, and character to lead this paper to bigger and greater, bigger and better things. I hope you listen to the will of current and former students and vote to reinstate Mr. Moser advisor for the journalism class. Thank you.
Wendy Lau.
Good evening, members of the board, superintendent, audience. There's a lot that has already been said that I don't want to repeat, but I do want to bring to light and reiterate for those of for all of you, how many people are here today? How many people have been here for the last 2-3 meetings in support of Okur and Moser? And to echo some of the sentiments that Ian Jones brought up, when we talk about cost-benefit analysis, we're not just talking about fiscal cost-benefit. We're talking about the benefits of having teachers who care, of having teachers who make a difference. I have a job. I know it may not seem like it from all the times you've had to see me here, but I have a job. one that requires 50, 60, 70 hours a week and pays me pretty well for it. But I have a job. I have volunteer responsibilities. I have home life responsibilities, just like many of you do, and as do many of the people here. And yet here we come by droves from anywhere from West Covina to Laverne to Hollywood, from wherever it is that we work and play and live to support two of our own. And that should say a lot about what the benefits of having these two teachers means. I don't come out for just anybody. I've got, my time is precious, and I know time is precious for all of these people as well. And if we're looking at what we want for our district, what the best interests of really are for our students, then you have to think that if you've got two people that can generate this type of support time and time again, then really what is the cost-benefit analysis of getting rid of those two teachers? What are we doing? What are we depriving future students of when we say to them that, thanks for your work, but see you later. Have fun. I don't think that's the message you want to send. And, when you look at, what does that result in? There are voting members in this audience. If you think this hasn't caused a huge uproar in many areas with many people, you'd be blind. You've seen the emails. You've seen us time and time again. You've heard us time and time again. And I would urge you to make the right decision. You have the opportunity to do so. And I think, on behalf of all the people here today, we want Moser and Okura back in their positions. They've made an impact on us. They've made an impact on students who haven't even had them as teachers because of what they do for our school and for our community. So if you really want what's best for our district, what's best for our students, what's best for our community, then reinstate Okura and Moser.
We've gone well over our 20-minute limit. And that concludes all the people that gave us blue cards. Is there anyone else that wishes to address the board? Mr. Shoemaker? That's fine. Go ahead.
So many people are here or have been here to talk about not renewing a one class per day contract to a retired teacher. We've heard from teachers, students, and former students. Obviously, the person is well respected. I haven't heard from the person himself, which, you know, I'd like to. Has the board received any communication from this person that can be made public? Others are here demanding a change to an assignment of another teacher who obviously was well liked. Both items have always been under the jurisdiction of a principal. Is this whole matter about the actions? I've heard a couple people say something about the actions or the personalities involved. The reason I ask is I'm somewhat confused. If it's about the actions, why has no one mentioned that there's other one-period-a-day teachers who no longer have a job? Are they not worthy? Were they not having an impact on people? Are you here for a cause or for the personality? If it were for a cause, you'd be arguing for all the teachers. The reason I ask this, there are times that as a leader, you cannot do what you want, but must do what is right. It's the easiest thing in the world to say, okay, we'll give you what you want. You'll all walk out of here happy, thinking the board supports you. I ask you, if the decisions of the school site are overturned, who's going to tell a teacher at a high school they lose 20% of their pay, promised because someone else wanted the class? How do you explain to administrators that the board will now overrule their decisions? And how does a principal keep control of a school? Get approval of every decision first? I also ask, what is the professional experience of the board to overrule these types of school site decisions? The board is here to govern, not to manage the day-to-day operations of the schools. That is why you hire staff. Additionally, to teachers specifically, what will happen if the board decides they should make these decisions? How long will it be before the board determines grading criteria? Will the board have a special board meeting at football games in case our football coach calls a play that is not popular with the fans? Thus, the board will make the play calls after determining what the public wants. Do not say that will not happen. Many with a long history in this district thought this discussion would never take place. Furthermore, many of you have stated the handling of the matter showed disrespect for the people involved. Yet no person has made any comments about a board member, Mr. Spence, telling a 38-year veteran of our school district to go F himself during a board meeting. The same board member, Mr. Spence, says public education is virtually worthless. Virtually worthless. Do you think your education was worthless? Not a word from anyone. Do you all believe public education is worthless? Where is the newspapers? Where are the seekers of truth? Mr. Spence says he can find better teachers on street corners. Again, silence from teachers, administrators, and students is deafening. Ms. Jimenez tells you she strongly supports teachers, students, and parents. She'll be here for you until the very end, no matter what. As she mentioned, she is currently making phone calls and attempting to gather support for an appointment, and failing that, a run for the city council next year. Just think about it. When budgets, raises, contract negotiations, things of importance, and being a member of the school board come around, she'll be concentrating on city council race, not you. Ms. Jimenez supports students. One of her first votes on this board was to overturn the censure of Mike Spence, which was leveled in part because of his actions against a student. Ms. Jimenez and Mr. Spence are playing let's make a deal with your jobs. Discuss these items in public and the school district will face hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees and millions of dollars in payments. Where does the district get the money? The budget. Which means the money will come out of your pocket, pay cuts, or job losses. Ms. Jimenez tells you that she fully supports teachers in our schools and believe they're all great, none better anywhere. But she puts her children in Edison, not Orangewood. I guess some teachers are greater than others. When the investigation into Mike Spence's actions towards staff concluded that he had engaged in a pattern of harassing, intimidating, and demeaning behavior, what support was shown by teachers, by Ms. Jimenez, to send a clear message that this type of behavior would not be tolerated? None. Not a word. Silence. Not even a raised eyebrow in disapproval. She claims to support you, yet she votes against renewing your contract. Ms. Jimenez had three important votes and opportunities to show her support for teachers, parents, and students. Her first three chances, she's come down on the wrong side every single time. Three strikes, you're out. If this is support, what will happen when she disagrees with you? Do not listen to the words coming from Ms. Jimenez and Mr. Spence, who has 0-for-20-year record of supporting teachers and students and parents. Look at their actions, which tell you a different and a true story. So please remember, you may very well leave here with the change you want. However, what is the damage done in this respect shown many others? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shoemaker. Anyone else? Ms. Okura?
Board of Education, Superintendent, audience. I wasn't prepared to speak tonight, but I didn't want the last words to be those of Mr. Shoemaker's. I respect the board. I respect the superintendent. I certainly respect the people that are here in support of Ted and Mike. I can't thank you enough. I know that Mike has been in touch with some of you. He has met with the superintendent. He has not been here. It is not Mike's desire to bring attention to himself, and that's why he has not been at any of these meetings. That's why he's not here tonight. I did write a letter to the board members, and I did receive responses from some of you, and I appreciate that. I also included in my emails the principal of the high school, and I did receive a response from him. He and Mike will be meeting, whatever the outcome of tonight is. I'm hoping, of course, that Mike will be reinstated, that Ted will be reinstated. Mike believes that he was called to be a teacher. I said that in my email. That he was called as a minister is called to be a preacher. He believes that completely, and I believe that as well. I hope that you'll take that into consideration. He's touched a lot of lives. And there are still students here in this room that would like the opportunity to have him as a teacher. And I'm hoping that that is a possibility. That's really all I have to say to you. I hope that you will do the right thing for Mike and for Ted.
Thank you, Ms. Okura. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else who wishes to address the board? Okay, we're going to go to into close. Yes. Hold on. About this item?
No, sir.
Okay, because we have closed session stuff, and then we do have open session, and there will be a chance during that public comment for people to comment about other items that are on the agenda. But is there anything before we go into closed session? Yes, okay. Last one. And what's your name?
Brian Bobadilla.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me the time to speak. My name is Brian Bobadilla, alumni, 2005. I'm here to question the removal of Ted Moser from his advisor position and to request his reinstatement. With regard to his removal, a number of controversial factors can be called into question. First and foremost, that this decision is coming quickly and conveniently after Superintendent Castillo attempted and failed to get the disparaging remarks she made about West Covina High School taken out of print. That this decision is coming after 2 years of struggle with administration's attempt to obtain power over the school paper and its students' First Amendment rights. That Lisa Maggiore was straight away given the Journalism 2 advisor position, removing Mr. Moser, instead of the open and available Journalism 1 position. The fact that this change was made discreetly behind the backs of the teaching staff after the school year had ended, while they were left believing that the positions would remain as they were written in the master schedule issued before the end of the school year. The fact that this was made to seem by Principal Rule Cava as if Ms. Maggiore explicitly asked for the position when in reality she never did. With regard to his reinstatement, I have this to say. As board members, I know that your job is more important than you likely give yourselves credit for. The same couldn't be truer for Mr. Moser. Being the modest man that he is, I am here today to give him the credit that he will not take for himself. My senior year, I was enrolled in Mr. Moser's English class, his journalism class, served a period as his teaching assistant, and was one of the fortunate few that was able to make the annual journalism conference trip to New York. So I have had the privilege of seeing him in many different lights. And I saw in him one of the attributes that I have come to respect the most in a person. His drive matches his desire. That is to say that he wants the best for his students. So he gives his best. He will never shortchange you. I've had many different teachers in my high school and college career, as of my fellow alumni, and yet very few ever managed to go beyond just being an employee assigned to teaching a specific class and being a mentor whose wisdom and guidance extends far beyond the classroom. Theodore Moser has managed to accomplish that feat time and again. You must really truly take the time to step back and realize what it means for two men such as Ted Moser and Michael Kura to have this big of an impact. In fact, part of the reason that we're here today and so well organized is because Ted Moser gave us the tools to question, to inform, and if necessary, protest that which we believe to be unjust. Removing him now would mean depriving current and future journalism students of that very skill. And it's one that's very necessary to the success outside of the high school. As much as I would have liked to and been able to write more about Mr. Moser, I tried to keep my speech short, one, to allow all those who wanted to speak today the ability to do so, but also so as to not to dilute the most important point of my speech, which is simply that Ted Moser is the best available person for this position. And as a school board, as a student body, and as members of a community with the best of interest in the education of our future, we should never settle for anything less. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go into closed session now. I do want to point out that there may be people coming that normally think, and we've had a good track record of starting at 7 p.m. for our regular session. I don't believe we're going to make that. And so you could just share with them that this part went on too long, and when we will not be starting at 7, we'll start when we get done in closed session. Okay, thank you.